But before we begin, let us once again pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful day, O Lord God, and a great opportunity to share your word with us, O Lord God. So, Lord, we pray that your presence be with us, Lord. We pray that you guide us through your word. Father, we ask for the presence of your Holy Spirit and merciful Savior. We pray that you refresh us, O Lord God, through your word. Lord, I know that there have been a long day, O Lord God, for some of us, O Lord God. So, blessed Savior, we expect you, Lord McKean, to speak to us, O Lord God. Jesus, to refresh our soul and our spirit. And, Lord God, we pray that you make alive your word, O Lord McKean. Not only alive, but Jesus, help us that we receive it in our heart. Lord, allow your word to sink deep in us, O Lord McKean, to bring change, transformation, repentance, O Lord God, my King, before you, Lord God. So, Father, you know how weak, O Lord, my King, we are. Blessed Savior, there is absolutely nothing we can be able to put into practice as far as your commands and your word are concerned without your help, without the guidance and the empowering of your Holy Spirit. So, precious Redeemer, we ask of all that, O Lord, my King, to happen, so that this day and what we are about to study, Lord McKean, count and brings fruits of righteousness and holiness in us. In the name of Jesus, we humbly pray. Yeah, we are still in the book of Matthew chapter 18. Last time we studied about going to the brothers who offended us and obtain grace to them and forgive them of their offenses or their sins. So we continue the same topic of forgiveness. And today our title is Forgiveness is Not an Option, it's a Command. So as Christians, we ought to forgive always. Forgiveness ought to be permanent for our brothers and sisters around us. So without delaying, let us pick up with verse 21 of chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. This was Peter asking Jesus Christ, how many times can Peter or the disciples or Christians, we Christians, forgive? How many times should we go on and forgive our offender or people who offended us? Now, as you see here, Peter is not so much interested in in forgiveness, but he wants to know how many times should I count until I know that now I'm free not to forgive. Well, he thinks that 7 times was going to be okay with him because according to the teaching of the law of the Pharisees, they were required only to forgive 3 times. And when someone offends you like the 4th time, you are free not to forgive them. You can hold their sins against them. You can go on not to forgive. But Jesus here is trying to help Peter to know that forgiveness is not about how many times we should forgive. Because in Jesus' answer in verse 22, this is what Jesus responded to Peter. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. If you did a quick mark, that will be 490, that's 70 times 7. So you are to forgive 490 times. Well, by the time maybe you reach 150 forgiving someone about something, you would have already got tired of counting. So it goes beyond number. It's not about how many times. It's permanent. Peter, don't count. Let forgiveness be there. Forgive always. So it's not about number. It's permanent. It ought to be there always for us Christians. And Jesus did not stop from there. After beating Peter's attitude or thoughts of how many times he beat the wrong thinking of counting numbers of how many times he should forgive. After beating that, then it took him to the reality of how forgiveness ought to be for us Christians, or a pattern or a way that we should forgive. And this, Jesus give this in a parable, which is between verse 23 and 35. And we'll go through it verse by verse and see what Jesus Christ taught to Peter. And by the way, this was not only to Peter, but it's also for us. Because what Jesus teach the disciples was for them then, and also for us today, because it still apply. God's word is timeless. It's applied to those guys then and still to us today. So listen what Jesus have what Jesus said to Peter. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle account with his servant. He took him in a story of a king who wanted to settle his account with what? With his servant. Now, know who is the king here in this story. Obviously, Jesus is the king. He's speaking of himself. Then who are the servants? I guess by then they were Peter and the disciples. Maybe other people believe in Jesus. But today we are Jesus' servants. So Jesus is our king and we are his servant. So say that Jesus wants to set account with us, his servant. In verse 24, this is what Jesus said. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Again, Jesus is going to the number. A man who owns him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. We are talking in terms of gold or else money. But remember, we are dealing with forgiveness. So forgiveness has to do with sin. So we are talking about forgiving sins or offenses. So Jesus here, though he put it in gold, it sins. So imagine 10,000 bags of gold. I haven't even seen a piece stone of gold. Now here Jesus Christ is talking of 10,000. Not gold, but bags of gold. That's what this servant owned to Jesus. So sure, this servant actually owns to Jesus a lot. This is a lot. If you convert it to money, it will be billions of dollars. So if we bring it to offense and sins, this sometime how much sins we have committed against Jesus. Because he come to deal with us. He come to help us, to settle matter with us. Well, I have one, not one time actually, I've had it several times that the most holy man on planet sinned about 7 sins in a day. If you are the most holiest person in the planet, you can only sin about 7 sins in a day. And I just did a quick mathematics. If you take 7 times 365 number of a day, which is in a year, you come up with 2,555 sins in a year. Suppose you live for about 70 years. If you took the 2,555 sins in a year times 70, you end up with 178,850 sins in your lifetime. If you stand before Jesus, you are the holiest man in the planet. If you stand before Jesus after 70 of your years here on earth, you would have sinned against God all those thousands of sins against your heavenly Father. So that's what we owe to him, if we are the holiest. By the way, it can even be much more than this, because we are talking of the most holy man. Verse 25. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now, in those days of Jesus or in the Old Testament time, when a man or a woman sinned against the kingdom, it happened to be that when the king wants to punish them, sometimes they would punish the man, including his household. Your wife, your children, your close relative, even your close friends, all of them, because of your offense against the king or your sin against the kingdom, were to go with you, were to perish with you. So Jesus' language here is well and common to those guys back then. So him and his family and his children are to be sold to pay. Now, note here that surely this is a lot of money for this particular servant. There were no way he could be able to pay that. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, a part of which says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, obviously we have sinned against God more than one time. And the consequence of that is what? It's death. If you go back to Adam, the first servant or the first man God created, after God giving him the command, Adam, everything is yours in this garden. The animals, the birds are to obey you, are to listen to you, you are to govern everything here. But I have only one single command for you to obey. He took him to the tree of good and of the knowledge of good and evil and said, please, feel free to eat on all of this, but never messed up with this one. The day you do, you will surely die. For most of you who knows the story, you know what Adam did. He went on and eat that fruit. What was the result? Death. Adam is no more today. We just learn of him in the Bible, but he died because of one single disobedient. And we have seen here that the most holiest man on this planet can sin against God a thousands and a thousands of times. So what is the way forward for us? What is the hope of sinful men and women like us? If Adam died because of one sin, it's surely difficult for us today. But the good news is this. In verse 26, this is what the word of God, this is what Jesus said. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant noticed, realized, I can't repay all this money. Let me just beg for mercy. Let me ask him to forgive me. He went back and, fall on his knees. Please forgive me. This is like you and I going to Jesus Christ to ask for forgiveness of our sins. If we can put it practical on a daily basis or in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We have sinned against Jesus Christ so many times. So the best thing to do is not to count how many sins I've committed, just to go before him and, can you please forgive me, Jesus? And in verse 27, this is what the word of God say. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. The good news today for us Christians, it's that we are forgiven. Our sins have been taken away. That's a good news. That grace was not shown to Adam. But for us, it's there. As long as we approach our Heavenly Father for anything, he is ready to forgive us. He is ready to cleanse us from our sins. It's a good news, indeed. For our Savior is merciful. In Luke 24, verse 46 to 47, this is what the word of God teaches us or say. He told them, this is Jesus, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Remember, as Jesus started the story, he said that a king came to settle matter with his servants. Who are the servants? We are the servants. Who is our king? Is Jesus. So Jesus' mission in the world was for men to repent of their sins and Jesus forgiving them. So he came to forgive our sins. He came to die on the cross on our behalf. And the good news through the Bible, it's when you come across where Jesus come across of people who have offended him or people who have sinned against him and just mentioned them. Your sins are forgiven. I love the other story of the woman caught in idolatry. You know, people were tired of her and wanted to really bring before Jesus to be stoned. And I love the way Jesus treated her. He asked them, "The one among you have no sin. Let it be the one, the first to cast the stone at this woman." Obviously, everyone was guilty of their sin. And the Bible said that from the eldest to the youngest, they all left. At the end, when there was nobody, Jesus turned to the woman and said, "Hey, woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "Lord, there is no one." The good news is that Jesus also turned to her and said, "You know what? I don't condemn you either." Eh? And he turned to her and said, "Please go and sin no more." In another word, your sins are forgiven. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to set you free. That was the good news. That Jesus' work for us. The criminal on the cross. Do you still remember the two criminals? One of them actually was so prideful and tried to insult Jesus. "Hey, you call yourself a son of God. Why don't you set yourself free and set us also free?" But the other one was kind of, "You man, you don't even fear God. For us, you are punished because of what you have done. But this man is a holy man. It's God. He's done nothing wrong." He went on acknowledging his own failures and sins. And he went on acknowledging Jesus Christ being a righteous son of God, or is God. And he turned to him in a hopeless situation. "Please, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Do you know the answer? Jesus turned to this criminal. The world is tired of this man. They have even hanged him on the cross. They can't forgive him. He is too bad for them. He can't stay with them. But God turned to him and said, "Today, not tomorrow, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is telling a criminal to be with him in paradise. This criminal has never been to church, has never prayed anywhere, be baptized either in much water or less water, sprinkling or immersion, whatever it might be. But by turning to Jesus for mercy, Jesus just gave him the green light. "You will be with me in paradise." Why? "I have come to forgive sins. Even though you only 10,000 bags of gold, I can forgive those things. I can easily forgive. As long as you acknowledge your sin and turn to me for forgiveness." So that's a good news. Jesus came to forgive us sins, no matter how much. I believe most of you are not criminals. This is a criminal and he's there and we find him there. Another sort of a prostitute approached him. And the Pharisees begin grumbling. "If this man is a man of God, you would have noticed this woman. She is a sinful woman. Why does she even touch him? And Jesus begin rebuking them. And after rebuking them and say, "My daughter, your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees were like, "Who is this who can forgive sin? Who do you think you are?" But guess what? She was forgiven and she was a sinner by then. Then why? God who created the heaven and earth forgiven her. And the person who was ready to pay for her sins set her free. And he left the religious leaders grumbling, complaining. But guess what? She was free. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know that you have been forgiven. There is no question mark on that. And it doesn't matter how much sins, either 2 or 3 or 1,000 or whatever, the blood of Jesus is enough for whatever sin you have committed. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, this is what the word of God says. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." How many sins? All sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who does that? Jesus Christ. When we confess our sins. What does that mean? That means that as long as you acknowledge that you have failed in one way or the other and go to him, he will be always ready to forgive you of whatever sins you have committed. Psalms 103, verse 12. This is what the word of God says. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Ha. This is a big, big, big verse, and it means a lot for you and I who have hope in Jesus Christ. As far as the east is far from the west. That's how you have removed your sins and I from him. He's like, I'm not ready to remind you of what you have done wrong, Elvis, or put your name there. As long as you have come to me for repentance and acknowledge it and turn away from it, as far as the east is far from the west, that's how far your sins have been removed from you or from me. It's a big deal. It's not that God is ready to remind you of what you have done wrong. It's a God to have forgiven you and forget. God have the capacity to do that. He can. He is God. So it's a good news. East and west are two things that cannot meet. Eh? They are extremely apart. If I take this direction, I'll be going west till the end of my life. If I take east, I'll be going there till. So there is no way the two are going to meet together. At least south and north, you know you come from south to north, and by the time you left north, you are starting coming in south. So it's kind of, but this and this is extremely. So it's a good news. That's our God. That's the God we serve. Verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coin. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Now, we left God is dealing with us, with our sins, and we have shared a lot. You have seen that God is ready always to make sure that we are forgiven. But this is now me and you dealing with each other. This particular servant, if you remember the story as we have shared, he owed Jesus 10,000 bags of gold, not silver, gold. But guess what? After lifting Jesus' presence, he found Elvis who possibly owed him how much? 100 silver of coin. They have just forgiven him how much? 10,000 bags of gold. But this guy go to his Pharaoh who owned him 100 silver coins, and guess what? Whoa. He grabbed him and choked him. Pay what you owe me, he demanded. That's us. That's you and me. We owe Jesus a lot and a lot. And by the way, we even continue to sin against him. It's not the end. Because as long as we are seeing this body of flesh and blood, guess what? We will never be perfect, no matter how much. The holiest man you have seen, he sinned 7 times a day. That's what we think, what we do, what we do with each other. So we'll keep sinning against God. And one single sin, unforgiven before God, is enough to kill you and I. But guess what? Christ's blood is enough for the past, present, and future sins. He have combined both together, and our forgiveness is guaranteed. But now, in dealing with each other, a problem has come. Your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, whosoever you're relating to, can just sin against you one single offense, one. And you're like, I will not forgive him or her. One. 10,000 bags of gold have been lifted off from us. But this is how we deal with our Pharaoh. Verse 29. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. He came and, he begged for mercy. Please, brother, forgive me. No, man, it happened. Yeah, I have fallen into this sin, but please forgive me. Give me some time. I'll try to do what I can and, look for the money and pay you back. But in verse 30, and this is what happened. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debit. That's unforgiveness. This particular guy is, no man, I will not forgive you. And the guy went on and threw the guy in the jail. Now, this particular person really looked really bad, eh? If we count how many sins have been forgiven and the ritual he failed to forgive his Pharaoh. But that's us, that's we, eh? I know in one or the other you have a brother or a sister, a friend or whatever, whom you know that in your heart you haven't forgiven them fully. You haven't come to that point of releasing the bitterness, the anger, you know, the unforgiveness that you have against them. And the unforgiving spirit, it's really a bad spirit, because in one way or the other will arise pride in you. Huh? No. This man, he has hurted me so much. This woman, let me deal with them. Let us see who I am. No pride. Let me deal with this person. They must pay. Put them in jail. Let them suffer the consequence of what they have done to me. So pride, vengeance can easily come, bitterness. Have you ever come across a brother or a sister and you share with them a bit about either their friends or, you know, their old close friends, and don't talk to me about that person. There is bitterness in there. There's something that they have not dealt with in them. They see that, you know, emotion. Talk about a personal situation, their heart. They haven't dealt with it. It's there. And killing them, you know, unforgiveness can kill you to, not to death. It can affect your relationship with people around you. And you even don't know where it comes from. Something that did not dealt with. Something that did not allow to be out of you. Bitterness. I know of a brother who had been really hurt, and unfortunately was hurt with his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And whenever you talk about anything relating the situation, don't talk about it. There is something. And you see that they're carrying a pain in them. They're carrying something heavy in them. Unforgiving spirit. Anger, resentment, hostility, all these things can be hiding behind unforgiveness. And don't ever really allow anything to put you in this kind of situation. Because it will cause your relationship with your Heavenly Father in problem. There is no way the Holy Spirit can flow as long as there is unforgiveness in your heart. There is no way. There is no way. So we must be ready to forgive. Actually, we forgive for our own good. We forgive for our own the sake of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So dig deep inside of you and really, is there anyone? And it's very easy to know that you have not forgiven someone of anything. You know, when you hear somebody's name or you see their face and you feel like something is not really right with them. No, that's unforgiveness. Your situation with them is not dealt with. When you can't afford to give someone a hand, handshake, you know, with a good heart and a good spirit, there is something wrong. And you cannot go on living a healthy spiritual life with that kind of a spirit within you. You have to deal with it. And it's very easy actually to have that, because in this world, man, we live with people who are, you know, we are imperfect. In one way or the other, we will offend each other or you will offend someone. But as you are offended in any way, make sure to deal with it. Don't treasure that so much in you. It will kill you. It will destroy your relationship with God or with fellow men around you. Yeah? There is this lady, it's a neighbor of mine. I really respect her so much. She's like my mom. I call her my mom. And she called me my Mutabani. So I was sharing with her, talking to her about the situation with her husband. The husband also called me like Mutabani, and I'm just like a son in their family. And one time she touched something in her that she have been hurt for years, and she have kept it in her heart. She have never dealt with it. I said, Mom, there is a problem. If you don't release this bitterness and unforgiveness in you towards your husband, it will kill you. It will rob you of your joy and your freedom. There is something wrong, Mom. You can't continue this way. Say, you don't know what this man has done to me. He cheated me then when we were still like that, like way back, 15 years back. And she have kept that and add more and more. I said, Mama, that's serious. And she's still the kind of woman who can afford to go back on her knees and Mukurike yosebo. When you see that nothing wrong, everything seemed to be fine. Say, ah. And then you get to the other picture of what she have kept in her heart and how she's acting. And say, ah. She's carrying a heavy burden in her heart. That can happen for anyone. You know, whenever I come across when I phone their brother or a sister, you know, a friend, either they or I phoning them, it just disturbs me. I can't, you know, rest until I do whatever it takes to come before them and say, man, you know, I've done ABCD, please, I have failed in this, forgive me. Or I go to them, I say, you know what, man, you have done ABCD, but I need to do it so that I be free. Yeah? So unforgiving spirit is a very, very damaging spirit. Verse 31-35. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debit of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owned. In this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sisters from your heart. Now, Jesus is trying to show us, you guys, you have been forgiven a lot, eh? Please, don't hold unforgiveness against your fellow brothers and sisters. Go on and forgive them. Release them from whatever they owe you, eh? Set them free. I have also forgiven. If you cannot do this, this is what my heavenly Father will do for you. So as you hold unforgiveness toward anybody, look to God also and look at your 10,000 bag of gold that you owe to him. Believe me, you will get the strength and the courage to let go of what other people offend you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31-32, this is what the word of God says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, roaring, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgive you. Now, forgiveness is not an option. So forgiving others is not an option. It's a command. We have been forgiven much, and God is calling us to forgive others too. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just in Christ, God has forgiven us. So we have no way out. There is no way around. It's a must forgive because we've also been forgiven. So God has forgiven so much. And when we begin really releasing our brothers and sisters, forgiving other people around us, it will help. It will bless. It will be a blessing to the people around us. And it's even another way of some people around us to really see the maturity or the practical example of what we believe. You know, some men and women around us have hardened their hearts and refused to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Why? Because they cannot see God in us. They cannot see a practical Jesus in us who confess to be his follower. I had a story of one man. He lived with a very difficult guy, and this particular man actually robbed him of his land. The guy was a Christian and said, you know what, I will kill you. I said, what will this holy man of God do to me? Killing me, I doubt. I said, I will kill you. And he went home. And one day, he was away. in a trip far away. Then his wife was pregnant, and now he needs someone to help. He needs somebody for, you know, take her to the hospital, you know, do all these things. And the guy was seemed to be the only one around. But guess what? The guy was like, this is an opportunity for me to show who am I to this guy who have been so hard on me. He grabbed the wife, took her to hospital, pay all bills and everything, and bring her back home. By the time the guy came back home and said, what happened? Oh, praise God. He's still excited about the kids and all these things. And said, you know what? So-and-so did all this. And said, what? Who? So-and-so. I said, he promised to kill me. And he thought about it for some time. Said, surely, he have killed me. He went back to him and said, you know, man, you have succeeded. You really killed me. He just knelt before him and said, what can I do to know your God? Now I have seen your God. I don't hear of your God. I have seen it. And you have killed the prideful man, the unforgiving guy in me. You have killed almost every bad stuff that I am in me. Please, I want to be like you. What can I do? How did this godly man kill the Pharaoh bad neighbor? He returns good for evil. And now his eyes was open. Ah, okay. That's who you and I are. That's how you should act. After your boss, your friend, your relative, your family members offending you, and just respond positively. And they're like, well, I'm a question about what Elvis, you know, said, but I think I've seen God or I've seen Christ in him. I may argue with this doctrine, but practically, I think I've seen God in him. Those are the things that lead people to Christ. Those are the opportunities that help people to really see a practical faith in us. And that's what Jesus is calling us to be. We need to be compassionate. We need to be forgiving. We have been forgiven much. Now, there are a few steps that we can take towards dealing with unforgiveness in us or unforgiving spirit. First, before we can properly forgive, we must accurately assess that what he or she have done wrong to us. True forgiveness acknowledges the debit or the sin exists and not overlook. If you are to forgive anyone, you must first of all see clearly, this is what they have done. This is what so-and-so or me. Eh? He have done this. You know, it's there. You know it. See it as it is. Acknowledge it's there. Don't overlook it or just, you know, cover it and say, ah, I forgiven him. But when you see him or her, you can't even smile. When you come across them, you feel bad. That's not forgiveness. See it as it is. Secondly, stop meditating on your pain and think about the person who did it to you. As in, so, that man. And the pain comes back again, you know. You know, the unforgiving spirit comes again. The bitterness arises again, you know. The wave of all these kind of emotions comes back. You are meditating on that wrong. You're like, just planning of how to revenge. No. Don't meditate on that. Instead, lies beyond your pain. Confess it to God and pray for your offender. As long as you can be able to come on your knees, on your privacy, and mention anybody's name that is really in your heart, somebody who have hurted you the most, or whatever that has offended you, and just go before God and say, God, I really don't feel like forgiving this person, but please help me. Lord, this is what I want to do. Lord, this is what I want to really make sure that it happened to this person. But help me. Confess some positive words about the person. As you begin praying in your privacy about that person, you realize that the mountain becomes smaller. And the pain and the grudges and forgiveness and all this kind of stuff begin now reducing in you. Why? Because as you confess it to God, you'll be giving the Holy Spirit a room to work on you. They might not change, but you will change. And you need to be healed before you can pass on to the other person and heal them too. So pray for them. Mention their names before God. I know it's not easy to forgive, by the way. It's not easy. It's extremely difficult. And you don't feel like you want to forgive when someone has really wronged you seriously. Mm-mm. Naturally, you feel like if someone can give me some help, you know. But when you squeeze yourself and take it to God, things begin settling down. In your heart, deliberately choose to forgive your offender. As in, just take a decision. It's not a feeling. You just decide to forgive. And this brings healing to you as a person. And guess what? Go to that person. After dealing with your emotions, go to that person. Let them know. See clearly of what they have done. And mention to them one of the beautiful words they need to hear. Man, you know what? I have forgiven you. And this is not the other forgiving or forgiving someone, but you can't see them. You can't greet them. No. Forgive and free completely the person. Another thing. You know, sometimes you can hide emotions in our heart, thinking that there is nothing wrong between me and so-and-so. Either your parents, your what, you know, people, and most especially people have hurted you. It can be hidden there for so long. So pray, ask God to search your heart. See whether there is any unforgiveness hidden in your heart. And ask God to help you, to give you the grace to remove this rubbish out of you. It will free you. It will give you real freedom. We have been called to forgive. There is no room in our heart for unforgiveness. We can't even begin thinking about it. If you are tempted not to forgive anybody, think of your sins before God. We did a quick math of what really can look like when you stand before Jesus without His grace, without His daily forgiving of our own sins. And it will give you the grace to forgive your fellow brother or sister. So it's my prayer as the choir comes back for the last song. Be praying in your heart. Be praying in your heart. Ask God to search your heart seriously. If there is anything, if there is anybody who has really, really seriously hurt you, it might have been there for years. I don't know how many years or whatever it might be. Please, I know by God's grace, by His help, you can rise beyond unforgiveness and get out of that rubbish in you. Somebody said that his stepdad hurted him seriously. But by the time he realized that he needed to forgive his stepdad, the man has already passed away. So he consulted his pastor and said, you know what? What you do, since he's not around, go and put a chair before you. Imagine in your head that they are there, they are sitting with you, and confess the words of forgiveness to them. Tell them that you have forgiven them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that it has gone. Tell them that you're not holding any unforgiveness to them. And this particular man's testimony said that when I did that, I felt freedom. I felt peace and joy in my heart. So either they are living or dead, there is still an open opportunity for you to get rid of that rubbish of unforgiveness. Please come and lead us in a few songs of worship. But as Ivan be leading us, ask the Lord to clear, ask the Lord to help you. Don't allow the devil to hold you in a prison of unforgiveness. It will interrupt your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It will rob you of your freedom, your joy, your peace. And you can't afford to be an unforgiving person. So decide today, decide tonight. I don't know who. But begin by now or today, dealing with that until getting that point where you can face them and tell them that you have forgiven them. Tell them that it's over. And guess what? It will really give you much joy, peace, freedom. So you need it. Do it. And ask the Lord to help you. On our own we can't, but with Him we can. Yeah, may the Lord bless you as He help you to overcome the unforgiving spirit.